98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's
is.
Ever existed.
It really, really
in
is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. No, that would have been yesterday's show. That would have been the worst show in the world, courtesy of me. Coming back from Mexico and leaving my voice behind the border.
You're being too hard on yourself. There was a little rasp.
I was a disaster yesterday.
You were a blank disaster.
I was a disaster yesterday.
But
I apologize to everybody in the listening audience. I tried to do a good thing. I got off stage in Mexico at 12:30 a.m. Monday morning. Woke up at 4:30 a.m. and drove here to do the radio show. Thought I was doing a good thing.
I was glad to have you. I know, I could see.
I was a
I could see
disaster.
You struggling when you had to shut your microphone off after every fourth word, and you were getting so frustrated with your voice.
Seriously, so we're all good, but today is going to be a great show.
Can I tell you something that will make you feel better about yesterday's show?
Okay.
Yeah, another sign of the pending apocalypse. I got this email, a press release from some PR person. And you know I love those PR person emails.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This one got me upset. Hi, Vince. The first felon to foray into the blockchain world from prison, Tiger King's Joe Exotic, today announces the official launch of his NFTs in partnership with renowned cryptocurrency members Club More.
Really? So is he
Joe Exotic in the world of NFTs?
But Joe Exotic is still in prison, is he not?
Oh, yeah.
He did not get pardoned.
No.
So he's... Okay.
He had the limo all warmed up and ready to go for that pardon, and it never happened.
And it never happened.
Is that not a sign that the end is nigh?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Vinny has a thing about PR pitches from people that are not even related to sports, because we get them all the time.
Oh, I love it. And then the ones that get real persistent about it. This is my last time.
Right.
Do you want somebody from Cat Fancy Magazine on your show or not?
Exactly. Yes. It's like, would you like to interview a famous chef about the new culinary trends in... No. No, we really don't. All right, young Jesse. Start the show.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
And the Splash for Tuesday, June 15th of the four NBA Conference semifinal series. We know one is done. The Phoenix Suns have already advanced to the Western Conference Finals with a four-game sweep over the Denver Nuggets. The other series all tied up at 2-2 as we speak. The Suns awaiting the winner of the Utah-LA Clippers series, probably watching even more interested last night, as the Clippers pounded the Jazz 118-104 at Staples Center to even things up. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard had 31 points, and Kawhi Leonard added a highlight dunk in the face of Utah's Derek Favors in the win. I tweeted about that because you remember the tweet in the first series?
Oh, yeah.
When I was like, they're making a big deal out of that dunk over Maxi Kleber.
Right.
I'm off the hook for that one.
Okay.
Because last night, that was vicious.
Yes, it was.
That was a, ooh, kind of moment.
Yeah, and Kawhi does that, and it's when he starts doing that, that Clippers team is a different team.
He's playing very well.
Well, and he had dunks like that with the Raptors, and he would do that, and it would change the game. That series is getting really good, and it's leading to a fascinating discussion about who... Would you rather?
Yes. The Utah Jazz are a very good offensive team, and they were made to look like garbage last night early in that game with the way the Clippers were playing defense. Obviously, it lessened as the game went on, but the cushion was so big, they just fell back on it. Marcus Morris had 24 for the Clippers. Donovan Mitchell, 37 points in the loss for Utah. Game 5 of that series back in Salt Lake City tomorrow night. The Atlanta Hawks overcame an 18-point deficit to beat the Philadelphia 76ers, 103-100. That series even up at 2. Trae Young playing through a shoulder injury, 25 points, 18 assists for the Hawks. He was the star who dealt with injury better because Joel Embiid, who's been slowed by a knee injury, not effective in the second half. He went 0-for-12 from the floor after halftime, finished the game just 4-of-20. He did have 21 rebounds, but it wasn't enough for the Sixers as they fall to Atlanta. Game 5 of that series tomorrow night in Philly.
Yeah, this is getting interesting. I made fun of that bettor who put all that money on the Atlanta Hawks to win an NBA championship, and that basketball team will not go away.
No. Played very well. Again, not for stretches of that first half. It looked like it was over, but they clawed their way back into it. Tonight, the Brooklyn Nets host the Milwaukee Bucks in a pivotal Game 5. The Nets will not have Kyrie Irving, who injured his ankle in Game 4 Sunday. But might they have James Harden? The All-Stars played a total of 43 seconds in this series because of a hamstring injury. He was initially ruled out for tonight, but is reportedly determined to play and has been upgraded to questionable. Wow. That game gets underway at 5:30 Arizona time. You can catch it on TNT. I get both sides of this. I feel like, okay, Kyrie's down. It's created this narrative, and we'll get into this a little bit on today's show about, okay, Kevin Durant, here's your opportunity to be the Lone Ranger and carry your team to greater heights and kind of wash away that label that's on you that you need all this help to get it done.
Right.
So I see that side of it, but I also see James Harden wanting to be there for his team, as risky as it may be, because that's the second time he's hurt that hamstring.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. And the fact that he re-injured that a minute into the game tells you that that wasn't even a re-injury. He just was not healed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and so I don't think it's probably pretty wise for him to play, but it kind of shows you the desperation Brooklyn suddenly finds themselves in. This is a huge opportunity for Giannis to kind of validate who he is as well.
Yes.
It's a fascinating thing tonight. Really it, is.
Yeah, the Giannis thing, every time I watch him play, is he'll be dominating, getting to the rim at will, and then all of a sudden he'll just settle for a really bad three-point shot and kind of change the just a mini change in the flow of the game. But we'll see how that goes tonight. The NBA announced it's all defensive teams yesterday. No representation from the Suns on the first or second teams, although Mikal Bridges did receive the most votes of any player not on the first or second team. Bridges picked up 4 first-team votes, 31 second-team votes as a guard, by the way, which is, according to Basketball Reference, he played only 7% of his minutes at a guard position this year. Jay Crowder of the Suns also received 1 second-team vote. The first team was made up of Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, and Giannis. Second team, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle, and Kawhi Leonard. And tonight, the All-NBA teams will be announced.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get first, second, and third teams. Got to expect some representation from the Suns.
Yeah,
on there, right?
I would hope you would have at least Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I would hope.
Feeling like the way the MVP voting shook out, Chris Paul might be on the fringe of the first team, maybe second team. And Booker probably third team.
That's what I feel too. Yeah. Yep.
D-backs continue to inch closer to dubious history. The Snakes lost their 20th straight road game last night, 5-2 to the Giants at Oracle Park. Brandon Crawford drove in 3 runs, including a 2-run home run off Matt Peacock in the 5th inning. He inflicted a lot of the damage for the Giants. The overall losing streak is only at 11. The D-backs, during their 20-game road skid, Bick, have scored a total of 42 runs. They are now 2 losses away from tying the all-time modern big league record of 22 straight losses held jointly by the 1943 Philadelphia A's.
Richie Ashburn.
And the 19... Yeah, he was a Philly.
Dick Allen.
1963 New York Mets.
Oh, and, you know that team.
Ed Cranepool. Ed Cranepool.
Ron Swoboda.
Same 2 teams by the Bay tonight. No word yet on who will start for the D-backs, but whoever it is, they'll be faced by San Francisco's Zach Littell. First pitch, 6:45. Pregame coverage starts at 6 on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Major League Baseball putting out the memo on penalties now for sticky substances found on baseballs. Pitchers will be ejected and suspended for 10 games for using illegal foreign substances to doctor baseballs, and a crackdown by Major League Baseball. It starts on June 21st, according to ESPN News Services. The commissioner's office responding to record strikeouts in a league batting average at more than a half century low, said today that major and minor league umpires will start regular checks of all pitchers, even if opposing managers don't request inspections.
Yeah, listen, this
it's a great way to pick up the pace of the game, isn't it?
Yo, I can't wait to talk about this later. This is the last thing baseball needs, but it's something they have to do.
But it needs it and it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's the tragedy in this. The last thing they need to do is slow that game down anymore.
Yeah. Finally, the Stanley Cup playoffs roll on. The Vegas Golden Knights beat Montreal 4-1 in Game 1 of their semifinal series in Vegas. Game 2 of the other semi between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders is tonight. The Islanders lead that best of 7, 1-0. There is your Splash, Tuesday, June 15th, coming up next. While basketball rolls on, the Phoenix Suns kick their feet up and watch and wait who their opponent will be. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Phoenix is one of the better defensive teams, and of course, the thing that would concern me was, you know, Kurt's health, but as he showed, I mean, it feels like he is only getting better. And then when you add in with Booker and Ayton and Bridges, how they've played, I would think people should be warming up to them. And if not, they're going to go 0-3 in the playoffs and picking against Phoenix.
That's Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider, who joined Burns and Gambo yesterday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And if you remember, Bick, going into the first series against the Lakers, there was like 16 experts from ESPN. 15 of them picked the Lakers to beat the Suns in that series. Bobby Marks was the only one who picked the Suns. Bobby Marks came on this radio station on two different shows and said, yeah, absolutely, the Phoenix Suns can make it to the finals. He's enjoying this, I think.
Yeah.
He looks pretty smart. He had the comparisons to the early 2000s Nets, the teams that he worked on with, you know, in a front office capacity that made it to two consecutive finals. And the comparison started at the veteran point guard spot, Jason Kidd for that Nets team and obviously Chris Paul for the Suns team. And I remember having the discussion with you saying, yeah, there are definitely similarities between the two. The only difference is those Nets teams enjoyed not so great competition in those Eastern conferences. The Suns have, and here they are, still one of two teams that's going to be standing in the West after this round.
Yeah, and I think, but I think people who didn't pick the Suns to get out of the first round, I think they had, you know, reason to go that route. I think there was a great deal of validity to the fact that the Lakers might be able to find a switch and become that team that everyone thought they would. So, I don't think the Suns have been massively disrespected, if you will. I don't believe that, but I do believe I do believe the fact that they are now betting odds to win the NBA championship is quite something.
Yes, but again, I won't use the term massively disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been tinges of it. We played the clip a couple weeks ago from Rajah Bell, former Sun, who holds a very special place in a lot of Suns fans' hearts. By the way, he called them fake. He didn't think they were a real contender.
Okay.
They were playing their real or fake game, and he said, yeah, they're fake.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it pains me to say that, but they're not a real contender.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And here they are again through two playoff rounds and 10 games, and like you said, they've elevated themselves. A couple of odds-making services now have them as the favorite to win the NBA title.
Yeah, and you know what? If the Suns are feeling a little bit of disrespect, probably not necessarily a really bad thing. I mean, you could make an argument, and we'll see what happens tonight with the All-NBA teams, that some of that snubbing has been reflected in some of these postseason awards already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what defender doesn't belong to make room for Mikal Bridges, but I do think that the Suns could look at this en masse, from Monty Williams to Chris Paul in the MVP to Mikal Bridges and the defensive team, and kind of say, what's happening here? I kind of agree with Wolf on this. I think the Suns have to see this thing through to get a level of respect, and it'll probably be showered on them next year. You know, a lot of these things that you expect in the moment with teams that are kind of new to the playoffs and to success, it takes a while.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of sense in that.
One of the other things that people are saying, maybe negatively about the Suns, is, oh, look, they got the Lakers without AD. They got Denver without Jamal Murray. Jokic got kicked out of the game when he shouldn't have been kicked out of the game. Everything's coming up. Phoenix Suns. Bobby Marks talked about that, too, on whether or not he believes Phoenix is catching a break with the opponents they've had to face.
Everyone was so afraid of the mystique of the Lakers here, and I said a couple weeks ago, just get them early. Don't get them later here. Maybe it's just a matter of who you're playing. I mean, Milwaukee's catching a break right now. I mean, look at what Milwaukee's, they're going into a game five without Harden and Kyrie. I mean, so you play who you can. If you've got guys that are injured, or last night, you know, Jokic gets tossed, but I honestly thought this series was over once they got on the plane heading to Phoenix after game three, after game two. But yeah, I mean, it's just the reality of where the playoffs here. It's kind of just survive in advance, and you know, at the end of the day, when we look back on it, we're not going to say, you know what, AD got hurt or Murray didn't play. It's that this team had a great year. Whether it be getting to an NBA Finals, winning it all, or losing in the conference finals.
I think you know my thoughts on this, Bick. I've shared them before. If you don't, I'll refresh them. When you have to win four series, four best-of-seven series against four different opponents, a grind that can take 2 months to win 16 games, and you get through that task, you have to apologize to nobody, for nothing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because look at the other teams. You know, the Clippers are getting a break right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Conley hasn't played in this series for Utah. The Atlanta Hawks are getting a break right now. Joel Embiid's not right, and he didn't look right. Did the Clippers get a break in round one against Dallas because of Luka Doncic's shoulder?
Yeah, that's a great point.
The Milwaukee Bucks are benefiting greatly by getting breaks. That's part of the fortune I believe you need to win a championship, and it's something that's eluded the Suns throughout their history.
I think what you just said is really profound, because I think that watching this postseason kind of clarifies a couple things to me. Number one, it's been really easy for us to play the victim role when it comes to bad luck in the playoffs. What we've experienced this year was Chris Paul's injury, and it looked like that might doom us all, yet they found a way to survive and advance, like Bobby Marks said. And then you get through that, and then you catch some breaks now. That's the trick of it all. And so in retrospect, I think back of all the Suns teams that never had good fortune, this stuff happens all the time in the playoffs, and you have to survive in advance. And it's not just us who has had bad luck in the playoffs. You just gave a bunch of examples.
Yeah. It's happening all over basketball right now.
It is. I mean,
and it kind of makes me uneasy, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, as somebody who's rooting for the Suns to get this done, it's like, okay, they got a little bit of bad luck early in the Lakers series. They navigated their way through it. They got, you know, the reverse of luck on the backside of that series. But yeah, the way that series against Denver went, it was very impressive. But you kind of have that feeling, what's around the corner? I hope I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right, and I think it is a concern. But then again, the Suns have already dealt with one of their injuries, and that is why this week off is just good across the board. It's every time my brain wants to start nitpicking at that, thinking about what might be a downfall of that, I have to correct myself and say nothing. This is a huge break the Suns are getting. Mm-hmm. A chance to get healthy and watch those two other teams beat the tar out of one another.
Yeah, and it looks like, again, you know, four games, it's now a best of three series. It's at least going six. I think the possibility with the home team winning all four games in that series to this point, the possibility of a seven-game series is still very, very high.
And the intensity of that series is going to keep going up, and then it's going to be, as a result, more taxing, more fatiguing. It's going to be more stressful mentally and physically. Who knows what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you got some fiery players on either side of the ball. Tempers could flare, could get more physical as it goes on. We shall see. Speaking of the NBA playoffs, this round, outside of Suns Nuggets, has been very competitive, very evenly matched. We'll get into some of those other matchups straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Straight away, Leonard against O'Neal, driving to his left, Leonard to the rim. Oh! Kawhi Leonard
put Derek Favors into the earth.
It's not an exaggeration.
What a great call.
It was a really cool moment, too, because Ian Eagle was calling the game for TNT, and his young son, Noah Eagle, is the radio play-by-play guy for the Clippers that you heard there on KLAC. So they did their calls back-to-back. Both very, very good announcers. And as you could tell, that was one of those get up. Even if you didn't have rooting interest in that game, that dunk was so violent. That it's one of those get up out of your seat moments. And you knew Kawhi Leonard was really hyped about it afterwards.
I mean, no, I don't get to see the reaction of, you know, what's on the web or social media or whatever. I mean, Zoo showed me a clip of Embiid talking. And that's the only thing I got from it. But, you know, during the game, I'm in the heat of the moment. You know, I know it's a big play, but, you know, got to have that next play mentality because right after that, I think Joe Ingles came down and hit a three pretty wide open in that corner. So, you know, we still got room for improvement.
Look, I don't know what happens the rest of this postseason. I don't know what happens for the rest of Kawhi Leonard's career. Yeah. All I do know, Bick, is that guy is sitting on a gold mine being a motivational speaker.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's going to have broadcasting opportunities like you would not believe. I'll tell you this. That dunk was so thunderous and vicious. That moment in that game, I believe it gave the Clippers a 24-point lead in that game. That was the moment that solidified for me what team I want to play in the Western Conference Finals. It
and
was.
It's the Utah Jazz.
It is the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, let's circle back around.
And we'll
to that,
get back to that later.
Kawhi actually referenced it that Ivica Zubac showed him a reaction. Joel Embiid was having his post-game press conference, and it wasn't an easy press conference for Joel Embiid to get through because he didn't play well. He admitted, hey, I didn't feel it tonight. My knee was bothering me. But here was Joel Embiid in real time reacting to that because there was a TV in the room that he was on.
Then, of course, you can kind of, oh, my God. See that Kawhi dunk?
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh, my God. I definitely had that same reaction. Like you said, we'll elaborate on this in a little bit at the top of the 11 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a never-ending, like meandering road as you know, through the Suns' lens on which team you want to play.
Oh yeah,
because the Jazz looked just so non-competitive for much of that game last night, and the Clippers looked amazing.
Yeah, they did.
It could very well flip the other way when they get to Salt Lake City.
What I really dig about Kawhi Leonard, just from a distance, is it's. He has got, like, something in him that the minute it's time to gloat or celebrate, it just gets shut off.
Mm-hmm.
And last night was one of those moments. After that dunk, he kind of looked at him for a moment and then got back on defense. It's like something clicks. Nope, you don't celebrate. And I respect that. The still photo of it, Donovan Mitchell's face, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fabulous. Yeah.
All the reaction photos.
Yes, it's great.
Where Donovan Mitchell's kind of got his arch, his back arched back.
And his eyes are wide open no, thank God that's not me.
Again, it was violent. It looks terrible. I give Derek Favors credit, trying to make a play.
Yeah.
You're putting it out there. You're risking your reputation being sullied for the rest of your career, and it probably will be now. But, you know who I was really impressed with last night? Trae Young.
Oh, yeah.
We had a conversation with a guest earlier. I think it was last week with Tim Bontemps, and I said, I think Trae Young has maybe elevated his status more than any other single player in this playoffs to this point. And he was bothered by a shoulder injury. It was very evident early on. Missed a couple of free throws badly.
Mm-hmm.
Then he started to missed some shots. I think he missed his first five shots. But for him to loosen up during the course of the game and have that kind of impact on an 18-point comeback against Philly, and the numbers he ended up with, 25 points, 18 assists.
That's quite a stat line.
He's really impressed.
That's quite a stat line, 25 and 18. Trae Young is very, very impressive. I've liked this kid since he's come out of college. It's he's just kind of got a quickness and a... in a way, an elusiveness about him.
Mm-hmm.
Very much like Ja Morant has, but even better. I'm surprised, and yet I'm not surprised. That's a good team he's got around him. surprising.
It is, but a team that maybe you looked at and said, okay, this is a nice introduction to the postseason, you know, they're two games away from playing for a conference final.
Yeah.
Against a team that was a heavy favorite. Now, on the other side, Joel Embiid, who has been bothered by the knee injury and has been really good despite it. He wasn't really good last night. Is again, 0 for 12 in the second half from the floor, 4 for 20. Tried to contribute in other ways, but here was Doc Rivers talking about Joel Embiid's performance.
He's just been good. You know, he's been solid. I think he's prepared for it, though. Like, he's in great shape, which I think helps. It helps everything. It helps, you know, being injured and being able to play, being in the right mindset. So, but he is what he is, man. He does about everything for us. We put him in the right spots, and he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, and he's trying his best out there. There was a couple of shots, replay shots, where you see him just grimacing, mm-hmm. running down the court. He wasn't himself, but still managed 21 rebounds. That series is a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be. I'll say that.
Same here. I did not. I thought this train was going to end for Atlanta. We're right here and fast, and it's not. And it's a credit to them.
And this is a team that fired their head coach in the middle of the season. It was not going well for the Atlanta Hawks, and now it is. And they're going back to Philly for Game mm-hmm. 5 in a place that they've already won once in this series in Game 1.
No, you're right. And the status of Joel Embiid's knee has got to be a concern here. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether he was leaning on that to kind of, like, write off his performance last night or whether or not it is problematic. But if he's got any kind of tear in that meniscus, that's a problem.
Which he does. It's been diagnosed as a minor tear, and maybe it's a day-to-day thing. Sometimes it feels better than others because he didn't look right last night. Then you get Game 5 tonight back in Brooklyn with the Nets hosting the Bucks, all knotted up at 2-2. We know about the injuries. Kyrie Irving, not going to play tonight with the ankle. James Harden, questionable, which is an upgrade for him. He was initially ruled out with that hamstring injury. Kevin Durant, a lot of pressure on him right now. He talked about getting ready for this game without the possibility of Kyrie Irving or James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, we go through the lineups of guys who can be out there and shoot around. We walk through stuff, and, you know, we'll get the lineups right before the game starts. And we pretty much know each other's games, and we play with each other a lot throughout the season. So if guys can't play, we've been prepared for situations like that. So, like I said, we pros, we got to adapt to anything. And if Kyrie and James are out there, guys will be ready. And if not, guys will be ready as well. So that's just really what it is up here at this level.
Yeah, the Nets, if Harden doesn't play tonight, Bick, the Nets will go into tonight's game with more payroll on the sideline than it will have in its active lineup. Between Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Spencer Dinwiddie, $86 million of payroll on the sideline.
Weren't you saying earlier that somebody sarcastically wrote that Steve Nash was going to reinsert himself into the starting lineup tonight?
Yes, and then suggested he would be the first head coach to play in a playoff game since LeBron James did.
Now that's funny and true.
What do you think? What does your gut tell you? And let's assume James Harden's not going to play because there is risk involved.
Yeah.
This is not, I know it's a pivotal game five, and you can't get to a championship unless you get past the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
So there's a lot riding on it, but there is mm-hmm. risk involved when it's a hamstring, a twice injured hamstring.
Yeah, no, I think Denver's going to seize this opportunity. I am not confident that James Harden's going to be well enough to play.
No. So what do you think about Kevin Durant? Can he get this done?
No, I think he's going to be good, but I don't think he can single-handedly beat the Bucks.
He's got to have somebody like Joe Harris step up big time.
Yeah.
And Joe Harris is an explosive shooter who can get on a roll with the best of them.
Yeah.
But they need him to go off for about 28 to 30 points tonight.
Listen, Kevin Durant has always been incredibly clutch, and he's a great basket gatherer. But putting a team on his back, I've got to see it to believe it. There is a reason why he's always looked for teammates.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very uncommon place for him to be.
No doubt about it.
Even early in his career in Oklahoma City, he had Harden. He had Westbrook.
Yep. Yeah, and listen, again.
Bucks by 40.
Wow. Yeah, I think the Bucks are going to win this game, and it's going to just play into. There's a reason why the Suns are now favorites to win the NBA championship. It's that. It's the fact that Brooklyn cannot get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame.
Why are you smiling when you say that, Big? Coming up next,
Major League Baseball apparently has its solution to its annual everybody's cheating problem. We'll tell you about it next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
All right, now look, Fopper.
Do you know how disciplined you have to be to have six-pack abs? Do you know how much I don't want to live like that? I can't live like that.
It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Memo from Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball provided guidance to all 30 clubs today that effective with games beginning on June 21st, enhanced enforcement of official baseball rules 3.01 and 6.02, which prohibit applying foreign substances to baseball, will go into effect. Suspensions for violations, 10 games for pitchers. I guess it could be a violation for a catcher, too. I mean, catchers could get involved in this whole practice.
Yeah, no, I think the pitchers, from what I read in the memo, the pitchers are going to pay the ultimate price, even if teammates are the ones doctoring the baseballs.
Okay. But again, if you're looking at a starting pitcher,
yep,
it's a two-start suspension.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Now, okay. There is a team penalty attached to this as well. If you get popped for this, your team cannot replace you on the roster.
Yeah, that's the really kind of penal thing about this if you're inside the game. Because now you, if you take a starting pitcher and you got to miss two starts, that'll jack up your rotation. And if you take out a key relief pitcher and he's got to miss 10 games, well, that's another story in and of itself. I think this is just so typical of Major League Baseball. And I just don't know why cheating is so pervasive in this sport. Now, maybe it is in all the sports. Maybe I am just horribly naive. But it seems to me that the culture of Major League Baseball involves baseball players getting to a clubhouse at, who knows, 1:30, 2 o'clock, 2:30 for a first pitch of 7:15, 7 o'clock. They spend a lot of time in the company of one another where a lot of this stuff gets hatched. Where a lot of these plans and a lot of these things go down. The fact that baseball has to further slow down this game to police cheaters is so sad. I said earlier, it's the last thing baseball needs, and the problem is so nefarious that it's exactly what baseball needs.
Well, when you look at the widespread drop, and since this news broke, I mean, it becomes official today with the memo going out. It goes into effect for games next Monday. But if you start tracking spin rates for pitchers, they've gone down precipitously since this news started rising.
Oh, yeah.
So that, to me, indicates everybody's doing it, or a lot of guys are doing it, which, again, leads me back to my very unpopular stance that we can move on from the Houston Astros now.
Well, there's a lot of sense that you make with that. Here's what I think is also dangerous about this game. Major League Baseball, in the report, said that these pitchers are making a conscientious decision to put hitters in more danger. Because when you use these substances to get better spin rates, you can quite literally put a little bit of spider tack on your fingers, hold a baseball upside down, and it will stick to your fingers. That's how sticky this stuff is, okay? And so pitchers, if it's that sticky, you don't have control over your release point. So Major League Baseball has correlated the data and found out that hit by pitches are up this year because of this stuff. Because pitchers are saying, I'm not worried about location anymore. I'm going to live with where this ball goes because I want the velocity and the spin rate.
Yeah. Yeah, but those guys that are getting hit by those pitches, the spin rate is off.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, listen. And so this is just it's just so typical of baseball.
Yeah.
It's a scandal every 2 years in this sport.
It seems like it. And not just a little bit. I mean, the Astros scandal into the Red Sox investigation was a huge black eye for the sport. Mm-hmm. And people are still focused on that. And then you follow it up with this. And really, you know, it's kind of almost consecutive seasons. Last year was a blip. Last year was an asterisk season for so many different reasons. They navigated through it, but this is two consecutive full seasons, really, where there's been, you know, a widespread investigation or a major rule change. Now, the way this is going to work, starting pitchers will have more than one mandatory check per game. Each relief pitcher must be checked at either the conclusion of the inning in which he entered the game or when he's removed from the game, whichever occurs first. Isn't that counterintuitive as well? Shouldn't it begin when you come into the game? Shouldn't there be somebody checking these guys in the bullpen?
Yeah, maybe. I think that they're going to try to, I don't know.
Because,
I don't know.
All right, let's say a relief pitcher comes in a big spot, strikes out the side, goes to the dugout, gets checked. He's got spider tack all over the inside of his glove. What do you do? The damage is done. He might have pitched out of a jam that could have changed the game. Like, this is a sport scrambling. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner, who continues to do pretty much everything wrong in that position, his quote, "I understand there's a history of foreign substances being used on the ball." Yeah, it's about 150 years old. And here we are in 2021, and you're just getting around to it?
The fact that this report says Major League Baseball noticed a great deal of baseballs discolored, that is how brazen the cheaters are in Major League Baseball.
I've had videos sent to me from people where, just a regular television shot of a pitcher on the mound in between pitches just going to his glove and rubbing
his belt.
The finger of his glove and all of a sudden, scuffing up the ball.
Yeah. I don't know why anybody in that sport doesn't see the lack of virtue and nobility in cheating. I really, for the life of me, I've never understood this idea that, hey, if you're not trying, if you're not cheating, no, you're cheating. It's nothing to do with trying. In fact, I would say it's quite the opposite. You're looking for shortcuts.
Take it out of baseball. Let's just go humankind.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of people do you think on the planet that have a conscience believe that cheating is okay? Whether it's cheating on your taxes, cheating on a spouse, cheating at a game, a board game, and official athletic competition. There's a reason why that phrase exists. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Yeah.
Because it's human nature to a lot of people. And apparently it's human nature to a lot of people who play Major League Baseball.
Especially when there's big money involved.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything can kind of get corrupted at that starting point. Yeah, you got a great point.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
There's a banned substance that would make you 10 times better as a writer and a radio host. You're tested for it. You chance it.
It's really, I would like to think that I wouldn't, but you've got to be honest with yourself. If something came that applied to your life, you can color the word cheating in all sorts of different nuance.
Yes. No, there's different. I mean, I'm going more into the obvious, the performance enhancing part of it, which we've had those discussions before. You know, if you take it outside the realm of sports, a lot of everyday life is based on performance enhancement.
I would agree with that. And that is, we've talked about this at length, performance enhancing drugs. It's an American pastime, from caffeine to Viagra to this, to Adderall, to this, to that. It's everybody is looking for something.
Performance enhancement, Ray.
Yeah,
that was the original line from Field of Dreams.
Yeah, that's what it was. So I don't know. I just wish that there would be some level of sportsmanship in baseball where there's a bridge too far or a line that won't get crossed. I don't think that line exists anymore. Here's the way that I would phrase it. So as a guitar player in a band full of guys who are way better than me, if somebody said, you could be as good as Guitar Joe, now that might tweak me because it's something where I'm like, wow, I could make quantum leaps in performance. These are already guys who are at the top of their profession, and they're still looking for more.
There's not a whole lot of room for improvement for a lot of those guys.
No, no.
I mean, natural improvement.
Right.
Progressive improvement.
And then there's that whole group think mentality where, hey, everybody else around me is doing it, so, hey, how bad could it be? Yeah, it's baseball, man. They have been cheating in baseball since baseball's been baseball.
I am so curious to see what this looks like when they roll it out next Monday. I think it would be fun. Maybe we do it off the air.
Yeah.
I think we should have a fantasy draft.
I think that's a great idea.
We each get 10 pitchers on a team.
I know.
Keep track. Whoever gets the first one wins.
Yeah. The first one to get busted.
Who would you pick? If I had the first overall pick, I'm going Trevor Bauer.
I'm going Garrett Cole.
John Means of the Orioles.
Garrett, have you ever used spider tack before?
The thing is, I'm not sure how to answer that question.
Yeah, right?
All right, coming up next, the Suns are two, maybe three games away from finding out who they will face in the Western Conference Finals. So with that outcome becoming closer, why is it no easier to pick a foe that you want to see the Suns play? We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Tuesday, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.